Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking, and we're talking to Matthew Kearns. He's with the Sierra Club. He's talking about energy, and recently the governor came out with a few ideas that he'd like to see pursued. You want to go into that a little bit, Matthew?
Sure. The governor has been really strong on environmental issues surrounding kind of our energy. He banned fracking not too long ago. There was a proposed LNG, liquefied natural gas port, off the shores of
Sandy Hook.
Sandy Hook, and then Long Beach, kind of right in that territory. He vetoed that. He had the power to veto that. That was in an area that was very good for offshore wind. Couldn't do both projects.
Why can't you do both?
I think it's there's traffic. It's a busy port, and you really can't do both safely.
That was
my understanding. And in his State of the State, he made a commitment by 2020 to phase out all coal-fired plants in our electric sector.
Didn't we just close the last one?
They closed them, and then they kind of reopened. They've been teetering, and the ratepayers have been bailing them out. So not only is it the worst polluter that we have, it's a terrible mess getting the coal. We all know about, you know, coal mining's not really a great gig. We wouldn't recommend it. It also, though, emits terrible pollution.
What about those poor guys who make a living in the mines?
Yeah, well, part of the phase out, and that's why they're calling it a phase out, is getting the folks that are they're working in those plants some job training. I think there's flagged about $19 million in some recent legislation, and that's going to go to help those communities. Nobody's talking about just shutting the stuff down and turning their backs on the community. That's the last thing we want to do. And what's great about renewables is we have an opportunity to create new jobs and to create new industry. The communities affected by this are certainly at the front of everyone's mind.
It's not an easy job to go put a solar array on somebody's roof, but it's a whole lot safer than being at mine.
It is safer, yeah. And we've seen it on Long Island. Solar is doing really great. And
solar is doing absolutely bonkers great.
Yeah.
I think they did, last year they did as much as they did in the previous 9 years.
Yeah, I think, combined. 1 to 10 or something like that is the numbers I've heard, yeah.
Yeah.
And what it's a result from. The governor had a New York Sun initiative where he said, we're going to put solar on people's homes, we're going to train guys up, and we're going to streamline the process.
I wouldn't give the governor that much credit because this was happening over time. First of all, you have to indoctrinate the people and understand that, make them understand that it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to get them away from that, that what we're creatures of habit of doing. And of course, all the bad publicity that came about solar being expensive and unreliable and everything else, it came from sources that didn't want to see their lunch being eaten.
Right.
So what happened is it took a while, but now people have realized that they're at virtually no risk going into solar.
Yeah. And that's the idea. If you have, there is an education period that's needed. You got to train a workforce and streamline the process, remove some of the red tape, make funds available to people. And it's taken a little bit of time, and good government can help that process along. And that's
many years ago, I was an investor in a technology that came out of the Brookhaven National Laboratories. And we couldn't understand why it wasn't going anywhere because it was such a good idea. And then one of the scientists explained, this is you need to get to 3% of the population using the technology before it takes off. And getting to that 3% is a big hurdle.
Yeah.
And once solar got to the 3%, it didn't take long to go to 5% and 10% or whatever it is.
Right, yeah. I think that's probably a good life lesson, right? Everything worthwhile takes a little bit of effort in the beginning.
A lot of effort.
Yeah, to get going. And we have another opportunity with that with offshore wind. We have a great resource off our shores in offshore wind.
One of the things that I've learned about offshore wind is using superconducting magnets for their motors, for their generators, they can generate a lot more electricity than what they could with the old ones. An enormous amount. They're talking about 10 megawatts on one stand.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's happened yet, did it?
I'm unaware of that, and I'm leery to say. I leave that to the engineers and the experts and let the people that are developing that.
But the biggest ones I've seen so far that are in operation are six.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember when we couldn't get a megawatt out of one.
Right.
You know?
And right now, there's a project being built off of Block Island, and it's going to power most of Block Island with five turbines. And we have an opportunity off our shore to do that. And not only meet some of our peak demand problems, which are always an issue with LIPA. We're always worried about kind of that late afternoon. And we're always paying to keep the grid up and running all year round and only using it for a few hours.
By the way, there's another wind technology that's smaller and used on top of buildings. And it's a vertical axis wind turbine. Are you familiar with it?
I am. I know there's some folks in Northport that have been playing around with some residential vertical.
Fitzpatrick?
I don't know if it's Fitzpatrick. There's a lot of exciting stuff out there.
Yeah.
And hopefully the
nice thing about that is you don't need to. First of all, it's not as noisy.
Right.
It's not as difficult to locate because you put it on top of a building. You can't put one of those big wind turbines on top of a building. You need that got to be anchored in the ground.
Sure, yeah.
And they use a magnetically levitated bearing on it. Do you know that?
Yeah. I don't know the details of it, but I know, yeah, there's some.
Which means that it turns without any friction.
Right.
And when you can eliminate friction, you eliminate heat. And when you eliminate heat, you get more out of the
product. No waste, yeah.
So these are things that are happening. Whether they're happening fast enough for you and me is another question, but they're happening.
Well, they need to happen fast for you and me, and that's hopefully we're going to see that with.
Well, they need to happen fast for you. I'm going to be dead.
Well, the governor. And even LIPA has made commitments to incorporating renewable energy in their grid. East Hampton said they're going to be 100% renewable in the near-time future. The governor has said we're going to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions 40% by 2030 and have 50% renewable by 2030. I know that's a lot of numbers, but what it adds up to is we got to start moving on stuff. We got to start incorporating this.
You know, one of the things that I got concerned about was the entrails of the... is that what they call them for the airplanes? When they spew out all of those gases at 35,000 feet, that doesn't go anywhere. It stays there.
Yeah, it hangs up there. I think that's, I don't know so much about airplanes, but I know in our transportation grid, incorporating electric vehicles is another way. It's similar to battery storage. So we could have wind turbines going and solar during the day. They could be charging our vehicles, and we could be using that. So there's
one of the things I learned over at Brookhaven National Laboratories was that they was thinking about making a 48-volt battery car and a 48-volt battery house, all using DC. That means that your automobile could be your generator for your house when it needed to be.
Yeah.
And it would also it'd be totally compatible. Mm-hmm. And, so maybe it would be fed off, the house would be fed off the grid, and the house and the car would be fed off the grid too, its battery. But it actually could supplant the house current. These are great ideas.
Yeah.
And if they ever come to pass, it'll change the whole character of energy again.
Yeah. And I think, you see companies like Tesla, or it's a great American company that is really doing well now because they're incorporating some of these ideas. What's really needed is our utilities to kind of open up and let this
technology. I'm invested in utilities. I just sold off a bunch of utilities because I think the time is coming when they're not going to have that broad base to draw from.
They have to change the way they do things. The idea of centrally located power plant going out to everybody is old and tired, and it's not flexible.
By the way, I talk to utility people all the time, and years ago I mentioned that we should have more distributed generation. And they said, nobody's interested in maintaining the system. We have to do it. Well, maybe we're having different changes. If I'm a big enough company, I can hire my own engineers to maintain the system.
Yeah, and I think there's enough, you know, if they can't see the opportunities out there, then maybe they should find something else to do, you know.
Well, hopefully they'll have to find something else to do. Because if we're all off the grid, we're home.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm looking forward to the day when we see less and less. Now, I don't have any big hang-up with the utility companies. I have very good relationships with them.
Sure.
But at some point, you got to say, this is going to change, and this is what we have to plan for.
Right.
And if they're not doing that, they're going to have someone else eat their lunch.
Yes.
And this is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. We're on LI News Radio, and I'm talking to Matthew Kearns. He's with the Sierra Club, and his specialty is energy. Thanks for listening.